Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room Show on Kate 98.7. Tonight's show comes to you live from Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark. Brought to you by Licking Memorial Health Systems, The Toy Store, Desserts Bakery, Lewis Clark Insurance, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lakeside Self-Storage and Heath, and Ship Brothers Brewing.
And a pleasant good Monday evening, everyone. Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room. I am your host, Brian Mays. Thank you so much for joining us. Once again, we are live down here at Ship Brothers, downtown Newark. Another gorgeous night here in Licking County. You can stop on in, have some great food and drinks, and we can talk a little bit of sports, a little bit of a change-up as we have on this Monday night, but it's a great change-up. I got a great guy in the bullpen that's always here ready to help me out. Lee Waller, you know him from the High School Football Scoreboard Show every Friday night. He's the one that has enough guts to show up and join me, not like his partner in crime, Mark Bruce, but we have to take a shot. Lee, as always, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
He sends me when he doesn't want to deal with the playoff talk anymore. So.
Understood. And not to discount you, but even more important, we've got the commissioner of the Licking County League joining us this evening on very, very short notice, Ron Bowman. Ron, thank you so much for joining us. Really a pleasure to see you once again. And you know, as we wrap up football, here it is week 10, but I also wanted to talk to you a little bit also about just how this league has done so successfully with the other fall sports. We have such tremendous soccer programs, volleyball programs, individual golf that have made it to state and qualified. Watkins Memorial had their first girl qualify for the state tournament in tennis. It just seems like year in and year out, the competition and success of the athletes in the LCL just gets better and better.
It does. Brian, pleasure to be here with you tonight. It's always a pleasure to talk about the LCL. So I'm glad to be here.
Have you seen even, and I asked the athletic directors this, how the enrollment and participation in sports really has gotten much better since the COVID year, and you're kind of wondering where we were going to head, but it seems like that's been a commitment by the ADs and coaches, and we're seeing more and more getting involved in the sports.
We are, and numbers being up, enrollments being up, we're very pleased with the direction that our athletic programs are going.
One of the things you and I talked about last spring was the sportsmanship aspect of this league. And we've got a lot of rivalries. And there's a lot of schools that on the field maybe not like each other very much. But in the whole scheme of things, the respect and admiration each has for each other. Because, you know, I've done football now 5 years here at the station, and not once has there been a brouhaha, anything out of the ordinary. And, I mean, these kids work out together sometimes and everything, but it really, and I know that's been a focus of you, is making sure that sportsmanship has been a huge part of the LCL.
We're working very hard on that on almost a daily basis. One of the things that's really, I think, helped this is the fact, like you said, in the summers in particular, they all play each other, play with each other.
Right.
And so they know each other, and even though they fight like the Dickens against each other during the regular season, they're still friends in a lot of senses.
Is it more than of a concern, not just with the players, but sometimes with the adults when we get to this, and understanding the importance of showing good sportsmanship, whether you're on the field or in the stands? Maybe that's the more challenging part?
That's definitely the more challenging part. There's no question about it. But, you know, we're trying, as you said, we're trying with our leads group to encourage more sportsmanship. It's a little tougher when you're trying to work with the adults because you don't have that direct connection with them.
Do you see, though, that understanding from the students? Like, it's just not worth it if we can't work together.
Oh, definitely. That's definitely the case. And I think I pointed out the last time we talked, our LCL MBL football game at the end of the season. Those kids, like you say, they fight against each other like a Dickens during the season, but they come together and they become one as they play that football game against the MBL.
Lee, I don't know if you had a question for Ron.
Not too much. I kind of agree with what you're saying. With it's a more of a challenge, I think, with the parents. Everybody has a kid that's going to go pro, right?
Oh, yes.
So every game is vitally important. But I think that it's been a very positive direction. I played for at one of the local schools here when we were in the Mid-Buckeye Conference, and then when we re-entered the LCL, it's been a really positive growth from 2013 to where we are now. And I see a trajectory. You know, we added Zanesville, Mount Vernon not too long ago, and they're adding some real value, I think, to the conference.
Absolutely. Point of example, this Friday night,
right,
we've got a great, I anticipate a great football game between Mount Vernon and Licking Valley, but
Granville.
Granville and Mount Vernon.
Granville, Mount Vernon.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Trust me.
I was thinking Licking Valley, and maybe that's next week. That,
Granville or Mount Vernon and Licking Valley played last week.
Yeah, on Friday.
Well, so's what, I'm behind. I'm only behind 1 week.
You know, that's fine. That's fine.
Instead of two or three. That's pretty good for me. It's just they fit in very, very well, both Zanesville and Mount Vernon, and it's been a very positive addition to the league.
Well, and I like those rival matchups with Mount Vernon and Northridge and Johnstown. I mean, I can't remember which school it was, but they really hadn't played a lot, and you're like, it's not that far away. So to have that, again, students, players knowing each other because they see each other over the summer, I think that's big. So you touched on Mount Vernon and Zanesville coming in. It always seems, though, what's next for leagues and things of that nature? Because, like, my alma mater, Logan, realized the OCC was not going to work. We're going to the Mid-State League, which is a much better fit. So is that something, again, that you and the ADs just, it's hard to predict the future, but is it something always on the table to discuss?
It's always something we discuss. The thing is, by adding Mount Vernon, we became a 12-team league. We went through a few years where we were 11, and that's, for scheduling purposes, that is a nightmare.
Right.
So we were so excited about Mount Vernon joining us. The thing is, if we were going to expand any further, we'd have to have an even number. We don't want to go through that scheduling nightmare all over again. So, yes, we would certainly entertain any talk from other schools to show any interest, but we're not actively going out and looking for additional teams.
So, while you're not actively looking, and this comes the cynical part of me, could there be conferences looking to poach a couple of schools? And I look at Watkins and Heights because of how they're growing so much. And I know there's not much you can do about that, but is there any concern about other conferences maybe knocking on the door while you guys are comfortable where you're at?
I think it's always in the back of your mind, but on the other hand, I think our schools are all very satisfied with the situation they're in presently. So I don't see anything coming that way, but we're always aware.
That's what you have to be. I think also with the LCL, and we've been fortunate to have several female athletes on the show, is just how competitive and how the expansion has been with a lot of schools. I think Utica, it's kind of been a record year for volleyball for them, and we mentioned some golf and tennis, but it seems like this part of the league really has taken off with girls getting involved and being active in sports. Have you seen that as well?
Absolutely, yeah. The participation, obviously boys, it's always been there, but the girls, it's just magnified itself over and over again.
It's been a good year for Utica's girls golf team as
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of firsts there as well, and had some qualifiers for a lot of things that they haven't made before. So, but yeah, same thing. I went to Utica, and girls basketball always been a big sport there. They're
right.
Getting ready to kick that off here, you know, end of next month, something like that. But they get just as good a turnout pretty much as the boys do most years.
Actually, practice starts this Friday for the girls.
There you go.
And then a week from Friday, the boys will start.
Yep.
So, I mean, It's here.
Yeah. Do you think also the expansion of going to seven divisions is going to help the LCL and maybe some of the other sports that sometimes you kind of get bunched in with some of the other bigger schools and things like that? Is that going to be probably a positive going down the road a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. We just we anticipate even more growth in the sports, and we're just very, very excited about the direction we're headed.
So the hot topic over the last few days, you knew this was coming, whether I told you it was coming or not, is the suit filed against the OHSAA for NIL. Temporary restraining order was approved today by a judge, which I guess opens the door for 45 days. This has been on the agenda for the OHSAA. I know they had a vote. You know, I'm very concerned about it. I think a lot of administrators may be concerned about it, but when 44 other states are doing it, it was just a matter of time. So, can this work?
We're going to find out. I mean, I'm certainly no expert in that area. One of my fears is I'm afraid we're going to see schools that are already a powerhouse in a given sport and have the financial wherewithal to encourage kids to come to their school because they can pay them more.
Right.
That's not what this is supposed to be all about, especially at the high school level.
I know it was either Doug or Tim Street talked about parameters being put in place, like you can't have the high school attire on, it can't be done at practices, things of that nature. But there's so many ways around that, because that is the exact same concern I have, is do the rich get richer, and what do those other ones, how do you survive? Because everyone's saying, well, we're seeing great parity in college football and college basketball. Okay, that's all well and good, but there's other sports that get impacted here as well. And if you don't, we just talked about the participation. If that participation goes to another school, it's very concerning to me.
Yeah, absolutely, it is to me. And the other thing that I'm concerned about is you talk about parameters, the state putting parameters on it. Every time you put a parameter on it, somebody's going to file suit against that.
Yes.
I mean,
well,
we're not
that, but how do you monitor that?
Yeah.
There's so many athletes in every sport, and you have to have somebody that's able to actively monitor that if you're going to enforce it at all. Or else, what's the point of even putting a parameter in there if you can't enforce it?
Right.
You know.
Right.
Absolutely, and that's one of many concerns. That,
right.
And we haven't had a meeting. League meeting since this all came down, and I'm sure it's going to be a certain topic of discussion next month when we meet.
And I'm just throwing this up because it is so fresh and new, and you could just shrug your shoulders at me and say, I have no idea. Does this impact open enrollment and stuff in some certain districts? Because to me, that's almost got to be one of the parameters. You got to be where you need to be. Because this open enrollment combined with NIL, I think, leads to the thing. But I know that will lead to a lawsuit, too.
I don't know what the long-range outcome is going to be, but it's certainly something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. But, again, I'm not sure, as a league or even as a state association, I'm not sure how much control we're going to end up having over it.
Well, I think the biggest question would be how much can you model from other states that are already doing it, right?
Yeah.
I think that would be the biggest starting point to look at when all this conversation happens, is which state, maybe even nearby, of similar size, similar amount of, you know, enrollment, things like that, how do they do it? And then just kind of go from there, at least as a starting point. So I know there's other states doing it, but, you know, you have to have a starting point somewhere, and then I'm sure it's going to evolve 50 times over the course of as this goes along. But
I was really amazed to hear that there were 44 other states that were already
yes,
doing it.
Yes.
I had no clue,
yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I mean, we do have some things we can look at,
yeah,
at what other states are doing, and
right,
and see where we can go from there and try to protect the integrity of our sports.
Yeah.
And back to the sportsmanship, because again, if I'm a 17-year-old kid and I'm on the offensive line and my quarterback's got $180,000 in his pocket,
right,
and I got $20 a chump change because just somebody wanted to throw some in my pocket. Man, that leads. I mean, I know I wasn't thinking clearly at 17. That's going to be tough to do. So it is. It's definitely going to be a challenge.
It definitely will be, and that's one of my major concerns as well, is the fact that, you know, we worked so hard to develop teamwork.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have, like you say, this kid in one position on the team and another kid, and there's a vast diversity of amount of money that is coming in, and a lot of them aren't going to make anything.
Right.
I mean, it's obviously the mega stars are the ones that are going to get the money.
And that says nothing of the parents that we just talked about.
Well, that's,
without the money involved.
Plenty of Pepto-Bismol ahead for you, sir. I hate to tell you, but that'll be some work.
We are not going to have a whole lot of control over it.
Right. That's true.
The state association is going to be the one that's going to have to fight the battles for the most part, and you know, we'll see how successful they're going to be.
Ron, as always, good seeing you. Appreciate your time again. Again, very short notice, and I appreciate you willing to step up. And not sure what I was going to bring to the table, but as always, you handle it like a pro, sir.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you invited me.
All right. Take care, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll take a timeout. You're listening to the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers on Kate 98.7.
Reclaim your garage, office, or basement with Lakeside Storage in Heath. Get your second month free after your first paid month on a variety of units starting at $65.
Sizes from 5x10 all the way up to 10x30.
Discounts for police, fire,
military, clergy, and educators.
Organize your living space today.
Safe, secure, local. Lakeside Storage Heath.
Save space and money.
Visit selfstorageheath.com today.
Ever notice how one misplay can mess up an entire football season? Selecting the wrong insurance can be just as bad. Everything is great until it isn't. A claim happens and you can't talk to a real person. Kind of like a football team without a head coach. This is where we come in. I'm Cindy Lane. Let our team here at Lewis Clark Insurance provide choices for your insurance needs. Proudly representing Auto Owners Insurance, bringing value, reliability, and trust you can count on. Auto Owners Insurance, just one of the teams in our playbook. LewisClarkInsurance.com.
The commercial Exmark Laser Z zero-turn mower is built for durability, productivity, and profitability. Get yours today at Buckeye Valley Equipment. The Exmark Laser Z is available in a 52, 60, or 72-inch cut and features a range of horsepower from 24.5 to 38 with your choice of a Kawasaki or Kohler engine. Take your business to the next level with its outstanding 5-year warranty. Visit BuckeyeValleyEquipment.com today for more details.
Licking Memorial Health System's mission to improve the health of the community extends above and beyond providing quality health care services to Licking County residents. We value service and philanthropy and support local organizations that uplift and strengthen the entire community. LMHS is committed to supporting community benefits in arts and culture, housing and economic improvement, youth activities, social service organizations, higher education, and community service.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Life is sweeter with dessert.
When someone asks, where's the local bakery? You say, Desserts Bakery, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love sweetness
Come see us for the 2025 Factory Authorized Sales Event. This is Jeff from the Toy Store in Thornville. We have savings of up to $4,000 on select Polaris side-by-sides, $2,000 savings on select Polaris Sportsman models, and 2-year warranty on all full-size Ranger models. Financing specials as low as 0% for qualified buyers. Now's the time to ride, so come visit us at the Toy Store or PolarisTheToyStore.com. Family-owned and operated for over 20 years. Come see us. It'll be the best decision you make. You won't be disappointed.
Just like our local teams dominate the field, Wind Waste Innovations dominates waste removal. They tackle your toughest disposal challenges with championship-level service for homes and businesses. From residential pickup to commercial solutions, they're the all-pro team you can trust. Score big with reliable local service that keeps our community clean. Visit wind-waste.com or call 866-WIN-WASTE. And good luck to all our area teams this season. Go get that win!
And we're back with the Licking County Locker Room Show on KATE 98.7.
Welcome back, everyone. Brian Mays, Lee Waller on the Licking County Locker Room. Thanks once again to LCL Commissioner Ron Bowman. I would love to be a fly on the wall the first time the ADs get together to talk about this.
I would love to be a fly on the wall. I wouldn't want to make any decisions in that meeting.
No. Not because, again, I think you would agree with this. Most of the schools are similar within the LCL, so they're going to have the same challenges. But, you know, still there's going to be more opportunity for a couple than there are going to be for some else.
Sure.
So how do you keep the balance? How do you keep that, moving forward? Now, we're going to have an athlete every once in a while that may have, quote, $100,000 worth.
Right.
And you just wonder how that situation transpires, because I don't know how else to say it. I'm nervous of how this thing's going to fly.
Well, and like I said, I think what you have to lean on right now is if I was in there, I would be looking at the states that have done this the longest.
Right.
So you say, okay, who was one of the first couple states to start doing this that's maybe of similar size or of similar, you know, enrollment across the state of a number of athletes? And let's take a look at, really dive into how they do and how they try to balance this. You know, how are they able to mitigate having transfers with open enrollment, you know, so much? And maybe they do. Maybe that's what it is, and that's just the nature of the beast. I don't know. But you'd have to start there and then say, okay, how can we tweak this or build on it to what's unique to Ohio? We obviously have three really big cities spread out across, you know, a wide range in the state. And then you've got tons of kids and, you know, pockets everywhere else that are probably going to be good enough athletes to, you know, qualify for NIL deals or whatever. But yeah, it's going to be interesting the way it plays out. I think that they really need to take a good hard look at a state of similar size that's been doing this the longest and start there. And I, like you said, a fly on the wall would be interesting. I wouldn't want to have to make any of those decisions, though.
You know, the league, I think, might be very interested to see how they handle this, is going to be the MAC.
Yeah.
Because those are all very, very similar. Now, you've got a powerhouse in football in Marion Local, but the rest have won multiple state titles in multiple deals.
Right.
I'm very curious because they all seem to get along. They all will. Again, does this upset the apple cart up there? Because
I don't know that it does, just because you would think in that area, the area that they're in is all pretty small too.
It is.
A small
it is.
Area, so you think that, you know, if they're giving NIL deals out up there, it's probably to, you know, the best player or two on the team. And they're all within, what, probably 120, 130 square miles of each other, 150 maybe. I know several of those schools are pretty close. I think a few of them are a little farther away. But
you're close to Finley, which is Division
right.
One.
Yep.
You've got Lima Senior, which
right.
is, and then you, just a hop and a skip and away, you're down to Dayton.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly it
would be interesting for a business to have an NIL deal with a team that has a 70, you know, something game winning streak.
Right.
So you think Marion Local is probably going to be, you know, a hot topic in this. I'm sure Coldwater in there too. You know, some of the more successful programs, to your point, out of those programs that are in that conference that maybe don't win it as often, Minster, you know, how do they handle something like that? Because they were just in a state championship game a couple years
not
ago, but they're
ago.
Not one of the teams that everybody thinks of when
right.
they think of the MAC. So it'll be interesting. I think there are things that you can do. It's just really hard to enforce that. My biggest fear, like we just talked about, is, you know, how do you put parameters in place of literally tens of thousands of athletes across all these different sports? Who monitors that? How do you have enough people to monitor that? So
I don't know. And because I believe, if I saw the story right, Ohio is third in participation.
Yes.
So
I think certainly relative to size, I think they are.
So.
And maybe just overall, I don't know. But you know, there's 11 million people or thereabout in Ohio, and a lot of kids play sports. It's not, you know, no disrespect to Indiana or Iowa or something like that. But
we can disrespect them.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Fine. I have no problem with that.
But, you know, this isn't Indiana. This isn't Iowa. This isn't, you know, one of the Dakotas. There's a lot of people, especially around these cities. Like, how do you have enough people to monitor that?
Right.
Think of just Columbus alone and how many schools are over there and how many kids play sports, all sports in all those different schools. And then you add in Cleveland and Cincinnati, and then you have Dayton, Toledo, you know, Springfield, all these areas, you know, Akron, you know, places like that. There's thousands of athletes. I don't know that the state entity has enough employees to ever monitor that. So.
Not at the time.
Yeah.
So, recapping last Friday night in the LCL, and also we'll look at Newark. We'll start in the LCL Cardinal, the game we had as the game of the week. Heath took care of Northridge 40-3. The Vikings have been decimated by injuries, and
yes,
we'll mention a couple of other teams. But typical Coach Ward ball club, starting slow, but they are picking up a ton,
yeah,
of momentum.
Yeah, I'm sure that if they could have back those first four games of the season, they would love to have just a mulligan for most of them. A really odd start to the season for them, where the only team they beat earlier in the year was Columbus Academy, who's really good. So you saw the potential early,
yeah,
on, but they just couldn't put a full game together. And I'm sure that's what Coach Ward would tell you, too. It just took us a long time to be able to put offense, defense, and special teams together for a full game. And now it seems like the second half of the year, lo and behold, just in time for conference play, they rolled around, got everything put together. It's a sign of a good coaching staff and a coaching staff that's done this before. They've won league titles before. They know how to do it. And thankfully, I think they figured out their offensive line a little bit, which,
yeah,
was a big problem, I think, earlier in the year. They cleaned up some turnovers. They had quite a few turnovers those first four or five games. They haven't had nearly as many. So they're rounding into form. You know, they still have to win this Friday to clinch a league title outright. Even if they get beat, they're going to get a share of it. But, you know, Utica, to your point, another team that's struggled a lot with injuries. But they can clinch a league title outright. And when you start like they did, I believe they started either 1-3 or 1-4.
1-4.
And that's all you can ask for.
We talked about Utica. They were at Johnstown. What a night for Ryan Sager.
Yes.
385 on the ground on 34 carries,
yep,
four touchdowns. They win by a final of 56-20,
yep,
and that 56 has been the average since Heath held them to 7 points.
Yeah.
They put up 51, 71, and now 56.
Right.
So, again, that's a team, looks like they're going to make the playoffs, probably won't host a game, but
nope,
you don't want to play a team when they've,
no,
got this running game going.
And
like,
and that's
they
what
do.
Mark and I talked about on Friday night. We named Johnstown a couple other teams of, if you're a 5 seed, 6 seed, 7 seed, do you really want to see Johnstown rolling into your stadium with that offensive line and the, you know, quarterbacks and running backs that they bring? That's certainly not an easy first round game. You know, if you're a 6 seed and you think, yeah, we've had a pretty good year, we're 8-2, you know, the team that you're wanting to play is probably a team that doesn't average 300 and something yards on the ground and want to bully you all over the field, but that's who Johnstown always is. And when they get it right, it's really, really hard to stop. Now, they've had a few games this year where they couldn't out-physical the other team that they were playing, and it slows down the offense quite a bit. But when they turn the ball, when they don't turn the ball over, and they're able to hold, their biggest struggle so far this year has not been giving up points, because
right,
in a lot of the games that they've lost, uncharacteristically, they've given up quite a few points. Utica last week, they were able to hold them to 20, and Utica scored all of those points by early in the third quarter. So the defense all of a sudden clicked, just stopped everything, and then from there it was a rout. If they can hold teams under about 21 to 24 points, they're going to have a chance because their offense is that high-powered.
LCL Buckeye, Mount Vernon at Licking Valley. Mount Vernon scored 4 plays in. And you're like, okay, we've got a,
yeah,
game. And Licking Valley said, no, we don't.
Yeah.
And they,
we were getting out the adding machine.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this could be a game.
Well, you still needed it for
right,
one time. But so it was 21-7 at halftime. Valley goes on to the 58-13 win to clinch a share of the Buckeye. And this offense,
yeah,
Rogers 13 of 15 for 241. And you've got two guys.
Is that good?
He's something special.
Right? Yeah.
And then you had two runners at 96 and 94, 475. We were talking before we went on air. I think this is his best team since the 2019 that made it to the state final.
I would agree with that. I will, like I said, I'll eat some crow. We were talking about off air. I think if they can get the two seed and avoid in this region, can avoid Watterson until the regional final, they'll have played, I believe, 13 games by that point. If they are 13-0 and they have that momentum rolling, this team has a chance to beat Watterson. I'm not saying that they will, but that I would be surprised if that's not the best team that Bishop Watterson will have faced by that point in the season, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they gave him a four-quarter battle.
And best team, that could probably be up for argument.
Yes.
Most disciplined and fundamentally solid team.
Yes.
No question.
Well, and it's because they have the balance that they do. They have a really good quarterback like they've had for, seems like there's been a Rodgers up there since I was in high school playing quarterback. But they have a couple pretty good effective receivers on the outside. They have a solid offensive line that is well-skilled. They block well. They've got a couple dangerous backs, to your point. There's just not really a weakness that you can pick out. And even if there is a weakness, they're so good at playing a complementary style of football, which is what Randy Boffman's known for in that coaching staff. They're so good at complementary football that they really minimize all their weaknesses. You have to try to get them to beat themselves, and they don't do that very often.
And to me, it's interesting. He's at 372 wins, tied with Ron Hinton at 372. Two guys, very old school.
Yep.
They did it their way, but they had adjusted to their talent. And he's got the chance now to move into sixth place if they get the win at Watkins on Friday, which, by the way, we'll have right here on Kate 98.7.
That's a segue.
And that's what we're trying to do in the radio, Bills. Yes, I tell you. So he would move into sixth all time and would be four wins away from the illustrious Chuck Kyle at Cleveland St. Ignatius.
Just a couple of state titles difference in there, because I know, St. Ignatius back then, there was a lot less teams that made the playoffs, first of all, when a lot of that happened. But, yes, Coach Kyle, fantastic coach, and, Coach Boffman being, anywhere in there just speaks to, his longevity and how good of a coach he is. They are consistent as can be.
Yep.
A
couple of other scores from Friday night. Granville got back on the winning track. They took care of Zanesville. Kyle Kirby, five more touchdowns because Licking Valley held him out of the end zone. Yeah. We talked about fundamental football. He's run over everybody but one.
Yes. And that's, the balance that we're just talking about. They have that on the other side of the ball in defense as well, and that's a testament to how good that defense is, because Kyle Kirby's been a man all year. I mean, he is most of the team. I will just say they're breaking in a new quarterback this year, so he's kind of taken on that role of give me the ball and let's go. And to your point, he missed the last two Licking Valley games. He wanted that. He wanted that responsibility. But, that Zanesville game, we needed that to get back on track, because they had the disappointing loss in the rivalry game, and they have a tough game on the road this week at Mount Vernon, and so they really needed a get right game where they get everybody's confidence back up. Okay, let's get the bad taste out of our mouth and get some momentum back, and they certainly did that.
Watkins takes care of the Battle of Broad Street for the fourth straight year.
Yep.
Like it was last year, it was close in the first half, then they go and steamroll to a 42-14 victory.
Yep.
This is an interesting ball club, too, I think. They started slow, very tough non-conference schedule.
Yep.
That one-point heartbreaking loss to Mount Vernon at home.
Yep.
Otherwise, they'd be unbeaten in battling for the LCL bucket. They could still get a share because they are 3-1. There's talent on this ball club.
There is, and I think they're the most interesting team in the league this
year. I would
agree. Because that they have talent. Like you said, you can see the potential in the games that they win, but every Friday it seems like it's what team are you going to get that comes out of the locker room. They had a close loss early on to Worthington Kilbourne as well, where if they get that win and they get a Mount Vernon win, they're in the playoffs already.
Yep.
But like you said, all things considered, they're sitting here with a chance to get a piece of the league title in Week 10 if they're able to knock off Licking Valley. Now, that's a huge ask, but if you ask Coach Waters 5 weeks ago, hey, you guys are going to be playing in Week 10 for a chance to win a share of the league title, I think he'd probably take that.
Absolutely.
Especially at home, right?
Yes, and the last time they played Valley at home, it was a full moon game.
Yep.
It was crazy. Valley wins 21-14, but it was one of the most bizarre games I've ever been a part of.
And they're going to have something like that again. They're going to have some breaks go their way, and it, as talented as they are, I think that they're going to have to play their best game of the season if they're going to win.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Bodie Smith continues to write the record books. I have been blessed to see him play along with Steele Meister, and these two guys really know how to throw the football. It has been impressive. He broke Steele's single season mark for touchdown passes, 24. They beat Reynoldsburg 35-21.
Yep.
Again, this team has been also an enigma. They looked... Yep. It was still the best half I've ever seen in that first half against Licking Heights in game one, and then you see them get 7 points against Mount Vernon, and
right.
It's just gone back and forth. And that's their first win at home.
Yeah.
They finished 1-4.
Yeah, after going 5-0
last year.
And then this year they've struggled to win a game. But, yeah, it's been kind of feast or famine this year for Newark, where it looks like, you know, they look like the greatest show on turf if they can get it rolling. And then if you can stop it and you can get a little momentum going in your direction, they've had a hard time kind of recapturing that. But they've got a chance to get a sixth win, and 2 years, I mean, think about that, Newark, in context of Newark football, 2 years back-to-back of having a winning record.
I was about to say, when's the last time?
I couldn't tell you. I know that they...
On that for Friday.
Yeah. I would guess probably sometime in the 90s.
Yeah, probably.
Because they had that season in 2000, I believe it was 2005 or 6, where they went like 7-3, made the playoffs, and then there was a really big gap there between that success and what they've had recently. So I would say it'd have to at least be the 90s when they've had back-to-back winning seasons, and they do still have a shot to get in the playoffs in their region as well.
And we're going to talk about the playoffs after this time out, but I Coach French has tried so hard to change the culture, and I think the 7 wins last year, those players coming back said, hey, and again, it hasn't gone exactly the way they thought, but for those kids in middle school and just looking ahead and saying, hey, this team is winning. That's what they have needed, and that's kind of been the buildup.
Well, and to your point, you can't just win. You can't win 7 games and then fall back to 3 or 4 games.
Right.
You have to get to over the proverbial hump to the point where you say, okay, playoffs are an expectation here, because to our point, you know what I just made. 2005, they went 7-3 and made the playoffs, and then a couple years after that, they dropped right back down and were, you know, 1-2 wins a year, and it turns into, you look back at that 3 or 4 years later and you say, well, that was just a blip on the radar. Newark's back to not having any success. When you start doing this for 2 or 3 or 4 years, then you get kids that come in that say, hey, I didn't come in here to win 1 game a year or 2 games a year. We came in here to win 7 or 8 games, challenge for a league title, and make the playoffs. That becomes the expectation. And you see with some of these other schools we've talked about, that is the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the expectation at Granville, at Licking Valley, at Johnstown. And Newark can build to that, but you have to have enough seasons in a row that are successful winning seasons that kids really start to believe, hey, this isn't an anomaly that we've won 6 or 7 games. That's the expectation.
We'll look at the postseason, which is just a couple of weeks away. Week 11, hard to believe it'll be next Friday, but we'll talk playoffs next on the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers on Kate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room Show on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, Kate 98.7.
When I was young, people would ask me what I wanted to do when I grew up. My answer was always the same. I want to work in insurance so I can help people like my dad does. And the rest is history. I'm Cindy, and carrying out my dad's legacy is a big deal to our team. Being able to offer our clients choices as an independent insurance agency is invaluable and is part of that legacy. Auto Owners Insurance has been dedicated to the independent agency system for over 100 years. A partnership we can trust. Lewis Clark Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance, your hometown team. Lewis Clark Insurance.
The commercial Exmark Laser Z zero-turn mower is built for durability, productivity, and profitability. Get yours today at Buckeye Valley Equipment. The Exmark Laser Z is available in a 52, 60, or 72-inch cut and features a range of horsepower from 24.5 to 38 with your choice of a Kawasaki or Kohler engine. Take your business to the next level with its outstanding 5-year warranty. Visit BuckeyeValleyEquipment.com today for more details.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Come see us for the 2025 Factory Authorized Sales Event. This is Jeff from the Toy Store in Thornville.
We have savings of up to $4,000 on select Polaris side-by-sides, $2,000 savings on select Polaris Sportsman models, and 2-year warranty on all full-size Ranger models. Financing specials as low as 0% for qualified buyers. Now's the time to ride, so come visit us at the Toy Store or PolarisTheToyStore.com. Family-owned and operated for over 20 years. Come see us. It'll be the best decision you make. You won't be disappointed.
Reclaim your garage, office, or basement with Lakeside Storage in Heath. Get your second month free after your first paid month on a variety of units starting at $65.
Sizes from 5x10 all the way up to 10x30.
Discounts for police, fire,
military, clergy, and educators.
Organize your living space today.
Safe, secure, local, Lakeside Storage Heath.
Save space and money.
Visit selfstorageheath.com today.
Life is sweeter with dessert.
When someone asks, where's the local bakery? You say, Desserts Bakery, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love.
Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Licking County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net. And that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
Let's head back to the Licking County Locker Room Show, live at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
It is the fastest 10 weeks in sports. That's high school football. It's hard to believe week 10 is coming up this Friday. So, again, looking at the LCL Buckeye first, Licking Valley has clinched a share. Yep. They go on the road to Watkins, and Watkins and Mount Vernon both are 3-1. So Watkins with the opportunity to knock off the Panthers, and Mount Vernon entertains Granville. And right now, Granville ninth in the region in Division 3, and I believe Mount Vernon is 10th in Region 7,
yes.
Division 2. So even if Granville loses, looking at the rest of that region, there's a lot of teams that are probably going to fall. I think they get in. They may not host. It's probably more of a must-win, I think, for Mount Vernon.
Absolutely. It's a must-win for Mount Vernon for a couple different reasons, because before we start talking about playoffs, Mount Vernon has not...
Playoffs?
Yeah. Mount Vernon has not qualified for the playoffs, first of all, since 1993.
Wow.
Other than in the COVID year when everybody made it. They have not earned their way into the playoffs since 1993. They also have not sniffed a league title, my understanding is, since then. And so if they were to take care of business against Granville, that will help their playoff case immensely. It'll also potentially get them a share of the league title if Watkins is also able to knock off Licking Valley. So they're going to have to win, and they're going to have to get some help, but this is the latest they've been playing in league title conversation, I think, in probably 25 years.
Coach Weber's done a great job.
Fantastic
and
job.
As Coach Franks was Coach of the Year last year,
yep.
He should get nominated for what he's done.
I think he may end up winning it, especially if they're able to get a win this Friday and finish, I think, 7-3. They're playing... They really would do well to secure a playoff spot if they could beat Granville, because that's a fair amount of points, a Division III team with a record Granville has.
And if you look at Granville, as I pull this up quickly, because, again, they're being ninth, but you've got Lyndon McKinley at 8th. They play Columbus East.
Yeah.
Both those teams are 8-1.
Right.
Sheridan, New Lex.
Yeah.
I'm taking New Lex in that
game. I think so.
They're right behind Granville.
Yeah.
You've got Hartley, DeSales. Yep. I'm taking DeSales.
Yep.
Athens, who has played absolutely no one. I know you're getting calls on Friday night.
Yes.
But they have played nobody.
Yeah. Their whole season is this week.
That's right.
Nelsonville, York.
And I think Nelsonville's going to beat them.
I do, too.
So I think Granville's safe. It's just where they're going to end up being on the road, win or lose.
I think they probably still make it in. I think you feel a lot better about your chances, and you don't have to sit there and wait for the draw to happen.
Sure.
If you take care of business. Tough place to go on the road, though, because like we just talked about, Mount Vernon's been a lot better at home the last couple of years, especially this year, and that's senior night for them. Going to be a tough environment. But, you know, I think the way you approach that, if you're Coach Hinton, is, hey, playoffs start this week for us. We have to go on the road. You know, we dropped a couple games this year, so we're treating this as a road playoff game because you're probably going to have to go on the road in week 11 anyway. So you get a week of practice in and you simulate that this week and you go try to get a win.
I think they're going to play Buckeye Valley. It's going to be my guess.
That'd be a good game.
I think so.
I mean, Buckeye Valley's really good this year.
They are. Yeah. They are. So, and we talked about Licking Valley. They have clinched a spot in that region, and all indications are they will have a first-round bye, which is brand new. So we'll be I'm looking forward to asking Coach Boffman about that.
We're not sure how that's going to work. The OHSAA is volunteering less money. So we don't know how that's going to work.
Are you just trying to set me up? I think you are. So,
trying to get you on a little
I know you are. I know you are. So first things first, they want to take care and win the whole thing outright and take care of Watkins on Friday night.
Yes, Coach Boffman and that staff, I don't think of the year they've had that they want to share a title with anybody. They want to win that outright, have yet another fantastic season. But, yeah, to your point, they want to get as high a seed as they can because if they are able to get that 2 seed, which, you know, defeating a Division II team that carries a lot of playoff points with that, so they could potentially get the 2 seed. That would keep them and Bishop Watterson until the regional final if they both win.
And kudos, though, to Granville for that huge Week 2 win over Tri-Valley. Yeah. That has given them
That's really buoying their season. That's why they're sitting where they are right now and are probably safe regardless of whether they win or lose. But, yeah, Tri-Valley has really benefited Granville the rest of the year.
And another guy that should get maybe Coach of the Year nomination is Coach Cam West for what he's had to deal with and stepping back into that very, very traumatic situation. He's done a wonderful job. Wonderful job over there.
And he's done just what he's done the last couple of years when he was the coach there. Before he, you know, stepped down and took the administrative position, and then all of a sudden had to come back because they had that tragedy with the coach that they hired. But all he's done there is win.
Yep. No question. All right, we move down to Division 4, Region 15. Johnstown and Heath both look good. Wins would help both. Heath favored to take care of Utica at Utica. They're currently 10th in the region. They're getting a bunch of second-level points from the one non-conference win. It was only one, but they beat Academy, who I believe is 7-2.
Yes.
So they're getting it done. But I think both Heath might get to 8th and may be able to host. I don't think Johnstown because they've got Newark Catholic. Yes. Their marquee win is the Centerburg win.
Correct.
And that will help them a little bit.
Yep.
And you taking Centerburg at Fredericktown? Both are 8-1.
I'd take Freddy's in that.
Would you?
Yep.
Okay. Well, then that would kill Johnstown.
I'm calling the upset, and I don't know if anybody in Knox County can hear this, but they won't be too pleased that I say that because Centerburg has been a buzzsaw since that game. Fredericktown can do some things to you, though, at home. It's a tough stadium to play in this late in the season. They've got that weird stadium where the wind blows through it. I've played there before, so tough game for Centerburg, but they'll probably end up winning and proving me wrong, but, you know.
And that region also, so you've got Philo at 7. They play Morgan.
Yeah.
That could go either way.
That could be either way. Morgan's a lot better this year.
Circleville is 8th, but they've got Bloom Carroll. I'm taking Bloom Carroll.
Probably.
And so, I think it benefits. Now, to me, here's the key team, and they are the 11th spot right now. Fairfield Union, which knocked off Amanda, which kind of surprised me a little bit. They've got John Marshall out of West Virginia, who's 5-2, but a Division II
team. They can gain a lot of
points. So they could jump up and bypass. Otherwise, we mentioned the East, Columbus East taking on Linda McKinley. They're 6th. So there can be some jostling, but I think Heath will past Johnstown.
Yeah.
And maybe only get as high as 8.
Yeah. I think Heath has an outside chance, like you said, when all the second level points are divvied out. They could potentially host at 8. More than likely, I think both of them will be on the road.
I think so.
Yeah.
We talked about Watkins. They have an outside shot. They are 17th in Region 7 Division 2. They're like the opposite of Granville. They beat Sheridan, and had
right.
Sheridan beat Tri-Valley last
right.
week, they'd be sitting a lot prettier.
Right.
But they may
second
get enough
level points.
Oh,
man.
They yeah. are something. They are something.
Joe Itell's a hero because he figures out all that stuff his algorithm does, and we don't have to sit here and talk about second level points, but that's essentially how they work. Yes.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there. If they win, they've got a shot. If they lose, they're definitely out.
Yep.
Newark, again, I think Newark's in good spot, too.
They are
on the road at arch rival Lancaster,
yep.
which Lancaster, I think, is a little bit better this year, but Newark would be the favorite going into that.
I think Newark's definitely the favorite. I don't know that Lancaster's better this year. I think they won 3 or 4 games last year, and they've only won 2 this year. So I
got them at 3.
Okay.
3 wins. 3 wins.
Yeah, 3 and 6. Okay.
But,
yeah, I think the same as last year, and I think that that's Newark's game to lose, even though it's on the road. It's
right.
Newark's game to lose. Again, we talked a little bit earlier about their feast or famine, though, so if you go out there and you start with a turnover, throw a quick interception or whatever, and you let the home crowd get momentum, it's senior night. You don't want to do that, but if Newark can start fast as they have in these last couple games that they've won, I think that it'll be tough for Lancaster. You want to get them behind. Lancaster's offense this year is not a quick strike offense.
Right.
If you can get ahead, makes it harder for them.
Now, I think if Newark wins or loses,
yes.
they're either going to be 11th, that's the highest they can get, or
yep.
out.
Yes.
And like the school behind them, Delaware Hayes, they're not going to win. They play Villa Angela St. Joe's.
Correct.
So that's a good shot. And Westerville Central has got New Albany.
Right.
So,
and that's kind of a toss-up.
It is a toss-up.
New Albany's been a little down this year, so Central could win that.
And then, let's see, who are the other? Westerville North plays at Dublin Scioto. If they win that, they'll get points. But I don't think Stanley Jackson's going to get that victory. I'm just saying. So
the fighting Stanley Jackson.
So I think Newark is in.
I think they are. I think it's very likely that they, like you said, they get either 11 or 12 seed. I think probably they'll end up getting a 12 seed just because where the other teams are right now. So they'll be in, but they'll be the last team in. And right now they would have to go to 5 seed, which is right now who?
Gahanna.
Not an easy game.
Gahanna right now, but they play Pickerington North.
Right.
So they may flip-flop.
Yeah.
And Newark gets Pickerington North. Oh, gee, thanks for that wonderful prize.
I think they're hoping Gahanna would win that game out of the two. Although Pickerington North has shown some ability this year to have some halves and stuff where they don't score very many points, so that could bode well for Newark. But I think the Wildcats, to take it on face value, the Wildcats, if they take care of business, they're going to secure not only a second straight year of playoffs, but they're going to secure a second year of winning record at 6-4. And that's as big as anything for them, because you got to get your kids used to making the postseason before you can take the next step of, okay, how do we get a win in the postseason?
Right.
They were close last year.
Yep.
My guess is if they make it this year, they'll play well. Coach Franks will have those guys ready to go, and that staff will have them ready to go. Whether they can go and get a win against one of those teams, I don't know. But you've got to get them used to making week 11, and then you can say, okay, we've been here a couple times. This is not new anymore. This is not, something out of the ordinary. Now we've got to win.
And while, again, I think the 12 is the right number.
Nope.
Sadly, there is a chance of a 1-8 team making the postseason.
Yes. There almost always is.
Cleveland, St. Ignatius,
yep.
they have a win over a winning team out of Painesville Riverside. But I looked at that this morning and I said, really?
Yep. It's the nature of Division I. That almost always happens in the bigger divisions, which is kind of counterintuitive to what you would think if you were more of a casual fan. You're not sure how the divisions are set up. But because there's less teams in Division I, there's... Like when there were 16, there were a couple regions where like only one team missed the playoffs because there's only 17 teams in that region. So with 12, it makes it a little bit better, but still, you have some regions where there's only 16 or 17 teams in that region. So only 4 of them are missing the playoffs, or 5. And so you'll have teams that if they have one really good win or 2 really good wins, they make the playoffs at 1-9 or 2-8.
But if you have that fewer teams, then don't have the bye.
Right.
and make it 12.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always
adjust. Well, when you're commissioner of high school football, Brian, you can do that.
Not with name, image, and likeness coming down the way. See how I got it in there, CJ?
You don't even have the job yet. You're already retiring.
I'm already. But it will be interesting. I think I'm really interested to see how those teams with the bye do.
Yeah.
Because they're not like the college and NFL players who are used to it. They're used to going hard every week. And now you're going to have, at the end of this gauntlet, this week off. Yeah. How do you prepare? What do you do? It's new for everybody.
Right. Well, and it can be just like I think what we saw last year with like the college football playoffs, right? It could be beneficial if you have a couple key guys hurt where it gives them an extra week to come back. But then you have to balance that with the fact that, like you said, these kids aren't used to that. They've been going really hard grinding for 10 weeks in a row, and then you give them a week off. How rusty are they? Because they're playing a team that is going to come in there that just had to fight for their lives to stay alive for another week, the week before. To your point, like we were talking about Johnstown earlier, they're going to have to go on the road probably and fight to get a win. And if they get that win, they're going to come in firing on all cylinders. And you've got a team that was just sitting there for a week off, you know, playing Xbox on a Friday night.
That's true.
Probably watching playoff games, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
You know, so you have to. You kind of have to weigh that as, like, yeah, it can help teams get healthier, but it can also have teams come out and be really rusty for a half. And if you do that in the playoffs, you can get beat.
Lee, my friend, as always, thank you so much for stepping in and helping out this old man who needed assistance on this day. High School Football Scoreboard Show, 9 to 11 on T100 Friday, and you two will be busy.
This is
probably the busiest night of the whole regular season.
Week 8 usually is, because that's when Valley and Granville play.
Okay.
And this past week we had Tri-Valley Sheridan, so we get a lot of calls from those games. Week 10 is pretty busy, just people wanting to give shout-outs because it's, you know, senior night. A lot of places, everybody's playing their last game. I will plug my little 10-second plug here.
Do it.
A lot of seniors playing their last game this Friday. Not everybody makes the playoffs, so senior football players, cheerleaders, band members, everything. Just encourage parents to be a little sensitive to that, because a lot of these kids are never going to put on pads and a helmet and play football again.
Let them enjoy the moment.
Exactly.
Yep. Thank you, Lee, as always.
Thank you.
We'll wrap up this edition next of the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers on Kate 98.7.